natural, you wouldn't use the word blessed, would you? Or is it just me? You wake up in the morning and your children are just hanging off the chandeliers. You don't feel blessed. You look at your bank account and you think, I don't feel blessed. But Jesus uses that word, blessed. And in this portion of scripture that we're going to look at today, this is an encouraging word. We're going to talk about that blessed persecution. How blessed are you? It says in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted. It's a bit of a strange one, that blessed, persecuted, don't seem to go together. Well, I don't think they do. But Jesus goes on to say, because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if we're not careful, as Christians, we can just read blessed. We're blessed. And we are blessed. We like to skip over, I suggest, persecuted. But we're also persecuted. You know, Jesus gave us many promises. And one of them was that we'll be persecuted. But if you're persecuted, the Bible says, for things that you've done wrong, that's one thing. But if you're persecuted because of righteousness, then that's another. And it goes on to say, for theirs, meaning ours, yours, mine, is the kingdom of heaven. And when we look at kingdom principles, through prayer today, we heard we're in the world, but not of the world. Easy to say, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but for me, I want to be real in church. I am a person who I could put a smile on anything. I could put a brave face on anything. I could come and just encourage you with stories of a blessing and blessing and blessing, and that, you know, if you give enough to God, he'll give back to you. But the truth of the word is, regardless to what we're going through, we're blessed. And we need to really understand that there's an eternal perspective. And I know for some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't feel that you're blessed. You're going through tough times because of circumstances and situations. Some of us go through tough times because of our own foolishness. I know I've been in that position many times. And I want to share with you, not my story, but just to let you know there are times where, as Clive said earlier, we put that brave face on, don't we? From the shoulders up, we're all good. But from the shoulders down, we're absolutely manic. And usually it's just before you leave for church, if you've got children. Just before you leave for church and all hell breaks loose and you close the windows up so the people in the traffic queue beside you can't hear how righteous you are. Or is that just me and my family? I can remember, Susan won't mind me, we used to live next door to an elder of our church. And I used to think, what's she doing, closing all the windows? And then I think, oh no, I'm in trouble. All the kids are in trouble. You know, we're real, aren't we? We're in the world, but not of the world. And you know what? I make these statements, and they're not loose statements. Christ is more than enough for you. But in my life, I've experienced body ministry. I'm always reminded of where God says, as Joshua's fighting the battle, he says to Moses, the battle is yours. Just keep your arms raised. And we sung a song which depicts that. And for me in my life, I've tried to keep my arms up. I don't know about you, but there's times where they become weary. And that's where body ministry comes in. You know, if I said to you, are you okay? And you said, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. If I say, do you need anything? And you say no, then I don't have to do anything, do I? But so often in your life and my life, because of internal struggles and external persecution, because we're in this world, if we don't lay hold of God's promises, if we don't lay hold of his truth, knowing that we're covered by his blood, then we'll crumble. So we need each other and we need him. Christ is more than enough. So blessed, you're blessed. That means that even through trial and tribulation, even through struggles, you're still blessed. When you have enough, you're still blessed. When you have less than enough, you're still blessed. When your marriage is going the way you want it, you're still blessed. When your finances are where you'd like them to be, you're still blessed. When they're not where you want them to be, you're still blessed. And I say that because God doesn't change. And I don't know where you've been on your journey, but I want to share some things before I get into some more scripture. And I've found for me, this is my testimony, that I don't get so much persecution from the world. that I do from the church, from men and women who profess to know Christ. I don't know about you, but I think there's something about the way I look or the way I speak. When I go into a Christian setting, it's as if I'm persecuted. And I'm wondering and talking to the Lord why. And when I'm in the world, I wonder why I'm not. And then it dawned on me that I am, but I don't rely on what the world says to me, and nor should you. You should rely on what God says to you, that he is more than enough, and that we will be persecuted for righteousness' sake. And righteousness means to have a right standing with God. So if you have a right standing with God, then you're blessed. And it doesn't mean that we won't have to be accountable for our misuse of words, our misuse of scriptures, our manipulation, our attitude. When you look through the Beatitudes, Jesus, it's almost like you're walking up steps, and every time you get higher, it gets harder, and he challenges us, and he challenges us, and he challenges us. And he says that you're blessed when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, because the kingdom is yours. So I want to encourage us this morning to be real with one another, to be real with the Lord. When we need help, say, Lord, help. You're more than enough. And one of the things in my life, if you was to ask me, how have you managed to keep going forward, I'll tell you, praise and worship. As I find that I'm being persecuted, as I'm being in that position where I don't like myself, where I allow the world to come in and pollute me, then there comes a point where I just have to stand on his truth and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Then I start to praise and I start to worship, and the mountain becomes a molehill. Because as we take our eyes off of us and fix them on him, then we see the reality of who he is and who we are in him. Does that make sense? Because when you go through your valley experience, and if you haven't done, you will do, when you go through your mountain experience, when you go on the road, which the Bible says that he'll bring the high low and the low high and give you a straight street to walk on. That's not just the time to praise him. You're to praise him when you're on the top and when you're underneath, because he's the lifter of our heads. So although this is a beatitude, if you like, this is a message where it starts with blessed are those that are persecuted, we know that we suffer persecution. But when we think about persecution in the Western world, it's very different to in other parts of the world. And looking at some of the research, and it's a sad statistic that every 5 minutes is a Christian being killed, being martyred, being persecuted. That's without people suffering other things that are not unto death. In this country, we may have to put up with someone making fun of us. We may have to put up with someone maligning our character. But God justifies, doesn't he? But to you, it's real. So just because you're not in a third world country or a country where it's dominated by other faiths that actually want to wipe out and obliterate Christ in you, it's still real to you. So we can pray for our brothers and sisters. We can financially support our brothers and sisters. But it's also real for me and you today. And where is your persecution? Where do you feel that you're being pursued? Christ is more than enough. In John 3 verse 19 it says, this is the verdict. Because we will ask ourselves, why is it that I don't even have to speak? Or I don't know if you've experienced it. You don't even have to speak. You just come into the presence of other people and you feel as if you're being persecuted. It's like I used to watch John Wayne films. Yes, that's how old I am. And I used to like it when they'd walk into a saloon and there'd be lots of music playing, and suddenly it just goes silent. That's how it feels when we walk into a room sometimes as Christians. Here he comes. And it goes silent. It isn't silent, but it feels like it. People aren't talking about me, but it feels like it. Why? Well, it answers us in Scripture. It says this. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light. You see, you're either for Christ or you're against Christ. How many of you in your families and your relationships, you know good people? Good people, and you think they would make a wonderful Christian, but they deny Christ. Well, they're in the world, and we're in the kingdom. And there's times we see people that don't reflect God's grace and God's love, but they're still in the kingdom. And it doesn't seem right that these are good people, but they're still in darkness. You see, if their deeds are evil, they hate the light and will not come into the light for fear of their deeds being exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. And something to remember as Christians, that God hears, sees all that we do. He knows our thoughts. He knows the attitudes of our heart. But he also knows that we are sinners saved by grace, yes? And that's the good news of the gospel. That's the news that we should be receiving for ourselves and then giving to others. In other words, as I like to say, you can't give what you haven't got. And through our lives, we will be tested. There will be a testing of our faith. I remember, I'm just trying to think how old I am. Next year, I'll be 60. And when I was 30, I stood at the front of a grapevine celebration, now called the One Event. And there was a call, an altar call, if you like. And it just said, if you will serve God, then come forward. And I remember going forward with another friend of mine and I raised up my hands and I said, Lord, where you tell me to go, I'll go. What you tell me to do, I'll do. And since that moment, trial and tribulation produce character. Character produce hope, and hope won't disappoint. We will all be tested on what we say and what we do. Do you love me? Jesus said to Peter, yes, Lord. Well, feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Well, feed my sheep. Do you love me? You know that I love you. God will test us. He will test the attitudes of our heart. But I want to suggest to us, or say to us as a church, and for you as individuals, that you are blessed. You may be going through some tough times. He's more than enough. But there's times where we can help one another. We can pray for one another. We can intercede for one another. There's times that in our relationships with other brothers and sisters in other churches, we can trust them and say, pray with me. There's a persecution on my life and I need you to hold my arms up. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. If you really know me, you will be known by my Father also. From now on, you do know him because you have seen him. Christ came to earth. He died on a cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He now sits at the right hand of the Father and he lives in you. Christ is more than enough. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. So blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And it's when we do things that don't deserve punishment and yet we feel punished, God says we're blessed. When we do things that do deserve, then we get what we deserve. So I want to encourage us today, one, to know that persecution is there and we're blessed, even though we feel persecuted. To know that there are times where we do things and we mean it for good. There's an evil person out there called the devil. God takes what he means for harm and he turns it for our good. So even though we may feel persecuted for righteousness, God is in us. And if he is in us, he says he is for us. And if he is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? So if you're going through persecution of any sorts, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, then you're blessed. For me, there's been times in my life where my home was nearly taken away, but I still sung the song. There's times in my life where my family was falling to bits, my marriage was a mess. I still sang the song. There was a time in my life where I was in the back of an ambulance, taking an overdose, but I had to sing the song, Christ is more than enough. There's times where my friends, those that I relied on, the father figures in my life, it felt as if they took a dagger out and put it in my back and I had to sing the song. The reason I'm sharing my testimony is because there's times where you think you can't do it, but you can, because Christ is more than enough. He will test our faith, but heaven is ours. And I want to encourage you that if God does it for me, he'll do it for you. I'm not special. We're all his children. So I want to encourage us today through this beatitude that says, blessed blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Because it's the righteousness we need to grab hold of. We have a right standing with God. If we've repented and he's forgiven us, you have a right standing with him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, it says in Romans 1. It is the power of God. It's the power of God. It brings salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe? Then it brings power. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed in a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It's not faith in me, is it? It's not faith in our own ability. It's faith in a saviour, isn't it? Only a sinner needs a saviour. So when persecution comes, stand by faith. I will not be moved. Lift up your voice by faith. I will sing a new song. Believe God's word is true by faith. We don't live by feelings. If we lived by feelings, none of us would come to church, would we? I don't feel good enough. I don't feel righteous enough. I don't feel that I want to hear God's word today because. But it's by faith that God reiterates that he loves you, he loves me, we've been saved, and we have an eternal perspective, even when persecution comes. In 1 Peter 3, verse 11, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. There's a strain on our lives at times where we want to do what the world does. Now, I don't want you to answer this question. Have you ever just felt, you know, when the Bible says fight the good fight, you just wanted to fight, but not the good fight? You just wanted to rip into somebody and say, because they're saying things about you, they're doing things to you, they're maligning your character, they're taking the bread out of your mouth, they're spreading all kinds of malicious things about you. That feels like persecution, doesn't it? It says you must turn from evil and do good. You must seek peace, but you must pursue it. When you look at the word to pursue, it isn't just to go casually after something. It's to pursue it. It's to hunger and thirst for it. It's to keep going until you get it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteousness. See, God is always looking at us. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. So when we cry out and say, God, I can't do this anymore, he hears our prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's why it's always good to keep short accounts with God. Because we are blessed. And I know there's times I even hear myself speaking and then think, this is supposed to be an encouraging word, an uplifting word, a good word. I believe it is. Because if we are told the truth, the Bible says the truth set us free. So we need to know the truth for the truth to set us free. So when we walk into Christian situations, we know the truth. When we walk into worldly situations, we know the truth. We know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We know that any weapon that the enemy uses, it will come to nothing. We need to know and remember that we're covered by his blood. You know, I've walked into situations where there's a definite, I don't give the devil any foothold, I don't give him any credibility, but there are times we need to use his name because he is the enemy and he is the devil. He is Satan himself. And he has a horde of demonic beings there to do his bid. But you know what? Christ in you, you're more than enough, aren't you? You walk into a situation where there seems to be demonic activity, you're covered by his blood. You might feel persecuted when you walk into a workplace or a situation that you feel uncomfortable in. Christ is more than enough. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I've been reminded in my life, whether I've been in good plenty or in want, that he's more than enough for me. That his promises are yes, but the amen is spoken by me. There's an opportunity that you have to say amen. Say, Lord, you've promised me health. Amen. You promised that you'll take care of my needs. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your promises. Because if you just look at your bank account, you won't give God thanks. If you just look at the medication that you're on, you won't give God thanks. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the truth will set you free. And so as we go through this life, whatever form you may suffer persecution, you're still blessed. And one of the keys, if you want to use a key to open the door, is to give praise and thanks. That you're standing on the rock. That Jesus shed his blood so you don't have to shed yours. By faith, we walk and we move. By faith, we can stand there. We can hold each other's arms up at times, can't we? When God says the battle's yours and you say, Lord, I feel persecuted, I can't do this. It's okay to ask a brother or a sister to come and hold your arms up. Christ is still enough. God's the one that does the work, doesn't he? But he uses me and you. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. In Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on one on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So when Jesus speaks, he's not full of empty promises. If we just read that one verse in the Beatitudes, blessed are those that are persecuted, and we don't go on to say, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, we won't grasp the beauty of this portion of scripture. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. Yes, we live in the world right here and now. Yes, it seems tough sometimes. Yes, we're to praise his name. Yes, we're to suck all the goodness out of Christ because he wants us to be filled. More of him, that means there's less of you. More of him, there's less of me. God wants us to experience the blessedness now, but he wants us to fix our eyes on the future as well. That if you're going through a tough time, and maybe you're not, maybe there's just one or two people that are going through a tough time, and this message, this word is for you. Christ is more than enough. Fix your eyes on him. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, it's not just a song. It's not just a sentiment. All the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So you're more than enough, aren't you? For the enemy that tries to persecute, the enemy that tries to separate, the enemy that comes in and say you're not good enough, the enemy that comes in and say you'll never do that, you'll never achieve this, the enemy that says your life belongs to me. That's a lie, isn't it? Your life belongs to the Lord. He chooses how many days you have on this earth. And we're to fear not, the Bible says. But we're to understand that we are blessed by our Heavenly Father. And we have an inheritance, a kingdom that's been prepared. You see, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for a triumphant church. His bride is victorious. You're on the right side if you've put your trust in God. In John 15, verse 20. It says, remember what I told you. This is Jesus speaking. The servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you also. Jesus is talking to his followers. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his nearest and his dearest. And he's saying, a servant is not greater than his master. Listen, they persecuted me and they're going to persecute you. But you're blessed. What form of persecution are you going through? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? Is it financial? Is it name calling? Is someone taken your credibility and they've stamped on it? Have they falsely accused you? Well, Christ is more than enough. Remember, they falsely accused him. They said all kinds of things to Christ. They nailed him to a cross. They denied who he was. And Jesus reminds us through scripture, I believe, to encourage us that they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will also obey yours. So Jesus, I believe, is saying here that when he speaks in authority. Remember, even the religious men would say, where did this man get his teaching from? His teaching is far above his years. They understood and they recognized the revelation. And in your life, you may feel that you are down here. But if Christ is in you, he's elevated you up here. He has given you a power to put out the flaming arrows of the evil one. It talks about putting on the armor of God, doesn't it, in scripture? And part of that scripture talks about the flaming arrows of the evil one. And when the flaming arrows of the evil one come, Jesus says, I've given you a shield of faith, which is soaked in my blood, and it will extinguish the devil's schemes. Is the devil scheming against you? If he is, stamp on him. By faith, take what God has already given you and put it into practice. You know, one of the things the Lord said to me many years ago, if you want it more, Andrew, you need to use what I've already given you. I've forgotten about that. And I wonder why sometimes I don't see breakthrough in certain areas. That's because I'm not using what God's already given me. Do I want to be more gracious than I need to use the grace God's already given me? Do I want to see his power work in my life? Well, he's already given me a measure. So am I going to use that? So for us, for you, for me, for those around you that are suffering at this time, for the persecuted church in other countries, for family members, for other church members that you know of, you, for whatever you're going through, Christ is more than enough. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. But praise be to God. The same power that raised him from the dead lives in you. So I want to encourage us today as we look at his word. In Matthew 5, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. I told you this was good news. Do you know what? There is a thing in sports, apparently, I've never done it. There's a thing when it comes to working hard in physical exercise, apparently, and I don't know because I'm allergic to pain. It says, no pain, no gain. Oh. And sometimes we have to go through some pain, but it's only temporal. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. You're not on your own. You're not on your own. Jesus intercedes for you. And the Bible says this, and sometimes when we read scriptures like this, we maybe don't like them. But he says this nevertheless. He won't give us more than we can bear. Do you feel that it's unbearable? Well, maybe it is if we do it on our own. But Christ is more than enough. So can we agree, maybe in principle as a body here today, that if we are suffering in any way, that Christ is more than enough? Can we agree today that his spirit dwells within us? Can we agree today that we're sinners saved by grace? Can we agree today that we're to be salt and light? Can we agree today that there is a message of hope and salvation that's far bigger than me and you? Can we agree today that there's a work for me to do and a work for you to do in showing people that even though I go through the tough times, even though my home nearly got taken from me, even though I had a group of lovely Christians praying that I would die, seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Christians believing that God would take me out because of something that was said, because I stood up for the truth. And when you stand up for the truth, you will be attacked. But you need to know that it is the truth. And if it is the truth, God will justify. God will vindicate. And he did. And he will. And he has. In 1 Corinthians 4:12, we work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. That's one of the keys to putting a stop to persecution. When people curse you, bless them. Bless them. When you are persecuted, endure it. Remember, if Christ is in you, he is the hope of glory. God's word is challenging, it's encouraging, but it's the truth. And the reason I bring a message like this is so that you can be equipped, fully equipped, that when the evil one comes, you can stand your ground. When you've done everything the Bible says to stand, then stand firm. with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. But you need to know the truth in order to proclaim the truth. In Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all. See, sometimes we don't read scriptures like this and digest them. You see, this is to God's people. Jesus is talking to his own. Do you belong to him? If the answer is yes, he's talking to you. So I've spoken about persecution, I've spoken about being blessed, and I've spoken about God's truth. And sometimes we can say good things and we think, yeah, but that's a little bit out there, Andrew, isn't it? If we take the time to read God's word, we'll read scriptures like this in Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Not just some of the power. He's been defeated. Is the enemy knocking on your door, trying to rob you of your family, trying to rob you of your health, trying to rob you of your sanity? Then God's given you power and authority. Speak to that mountain. Be moved in Jesus' name. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Lord, I thank you that I belong to you. At that time, Jesus, full of the joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. God chose to reveal himself to the humble and the broken, and those that said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need salvation. That's you and me if we belong to him. Jesus, full of joy. And there's a time when you go through tough times. I want to suggest that this is a principle, a biblical principle. When people curse you, bless them. When people malign you, bless them. When people falsely accuse you, bless them. When people are out for you, bless them and give it to God. He is more than enough. In John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. These are scriptures that we need to know. That it says this, I have told you before these things happen, so that you may have peace. And there is a peace, isn't there, that transcends all understanding. We pray it over people that are going through trouble, don't we? We say it, but do we believe it? There is a peace, and it's called the blessedness of God. Even though we're going through tough times, we still have that peace, that we know where we're going. I was talking to a serviceman some time ago, and he said to me that when he was abroad and death was round the corner, he said, I had a peace at that time that if anything happened, I knew where I was going. Well, we're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a battle. God wants you to have that peace. In this world, you will have trouble. So you will have trouble. This isn't a revelation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world, the Bible says. These are scriptures that we can meditate on. These are scriptures that we can digest. I'll tell you this story. When I became a Christian, I attended a home group, and I didn't know anything about scripture. I'm dyslexic, and even now I struggle with reading unless it's God's word. And when I see things, they come to me back to front, upside down and inside out, and they don't compute. Even when people speak to me, I say yes, and I've forgotten what they've said because I haven't heard it properly. I'm driving down the road and the signs say turn left and I turn right. And I became a Christian and I started to listen. This was in the days of cassette recorders. We didn't have CD and we certainly didn't have the internet the way it is now. And my wife bought me the Bible on tape so that I could listen and read God's word. And I was privileged that I had a job that I was Billy No Mates. I was on my own in the middle of a field just doing what God had employed me to do. And I could listen to his word time and time again. And I'd attend home group and there'd be things said and I would get agitated and think, oh, no, that's not what the Bible says about me. And I remember the leader of my home group saying something, and he was basically saying that we're worthless, we're useless. And I'm going, no. And he says, well, what do you see? And I said, the Bible says that I'm justified, sanctified, set apart. I'm going from glory to glory. I'm a part of his royal priesthood. I'm adopted into his family. All the promises of God are yes, and I say amen. Yeah, but, well, there's no buts in Scripture, is there? You belong to him. All the promises are yes. So when persecution comes, he is more than enough. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. Are you strong? Do you feel strong? In him you are, and the word lives in you. Cultivate it. For you have overcome the evil one. This isn't just a word to disciples. It's a word to the disciples for today. You have overcome the evil one. You have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world, but love the Father. Christ is more than enough. I just want to share two more scriptures, if you'd allow me to. It's so easy when you look through God's word. It's so easy to just pick a scripture and see the truth in it if you're looking for it. And for me, I ask your forgiveness at times because I do read a lot of scripture, and that's because I don't make up the stories, because the stories are not important. The truth is what's important. I get in trouble with other Christians because the truth is important. I get in trouble with the world because the truth is important, but it's not my words, it's his words. It's not my will, it's his will. So bear with me as I just read two more scriptures. It says in 1 Peter 2, Verse 20, but now it is to your credit if you receive a beating. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? There are times that our stupidity gets us into trouble. I would say this to people. Someone asked a question, I don't know if it was in our prayer meeting or in the study group that we had this week. They said, who do you identify with through Scripture? And I didn't have to think much because I identified with Peter. And Peter used to walk with a limp. And he walked with a limp because he always had one foot in his mouth. He always said the wrong thing at the right time, didn't he? He always got himself into trouble. And sometimes I can get into trouble. And Scripture tells me that it's no credit to me if I receive a beating for doing what's wrong and endure it. If I suffer persecution because of my foolishness or my ignorance or my harsh words. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever asked the question, Lord, what's my calling? Well, this says persecution is one of them. Well, I've changed my mind, Lord. Here I am, St. Clive. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his steps. Listen, guys, I want to close with this and say, in all seriousness, if you are going through tough times, it's not a nice place to be. But I want to remind you as a fellow Christian, I want to remind you as someone who loves God's word, someone who has seen persecution, but not on the level that it's taken my life like other people in other countries. But nevertheless, it's felt real to me, and I'm sure it feels real to you. If you're going through what you think is persecution, can I ask you to weigh up what's your foolishness, what's your foolish words, and what's his word? And if you're suffering because of his word, then he wants to remind you of the power that he's given you. If you're suffering because of your foolishness, he wants to remind you that you can put it right. See, when we repent, Lord, help me, forgive me, he empowers us afresh. So don't let the enemy take a hold. Don't let the enemy win, because he's been overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, it says in Revelation. Final scripture in 1 Peter 2, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. You see, there's times where you want to say something and you can't articulate it. Just quote scripture. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Through prayer and supplication. Not by going up to that person, necessarily. Live as free people. See, Christ came to set us free, didn't he? And if we're free, the Bible says we're free indeed. Live as free people. Don't allow the enemy to suffocate you. Don't allow the enemy to rob you. Don't allow the enemy any foothold in your life. Take on the shield of faith. Take hold of the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that are ready to preach his word. Live as free people. Remember, God died for his church. We may not like it sometimes, but he died for it. Live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Fear God. Love the believers. Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you that you are more than enough. Father, we thank you that we may suffer trial and tribulation, but we do pray that you would change us into glory, that you would give us a character, a God nature. Father, we ask you this morning, Lord, if there's anything in me that I need to put right with you, I ask you to forgive me. I want a right standing with you. I am blessed. I am blessed. Father, I give you my family. I give you my finances. I give you my health. I give you my well-being. I give you my today and I give you my tomorrow. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Fill me with your power, I pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Let's finish by raising our voices to God and believing that the truth will set us free. That when the enemy comes, you are an overcomer. Amen. Amen.